podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello! Good morning, good afternoon, whenever time you are listening to this here program. Welcome to the Midwest Madness Podcast. I am your host, Robbie Triano. And it's that time. Football season is basically over. We have a couple bowl games left and stuff. Transfer portal, whatever you may say. The football season's over. And it's time to start caring about college basketball. It's that time. And before you know it, by the time you're done unwrapping your gifts on Christmas, hope you all have a happy holidays, by the way. By the time you're done unwrapping your Christmas gifts, right before the ball is about to drop, conference play will have started. I know. You don't feel ready for it. You feel like you have just, you know, you try to catch some games, some of your own team's games, but you're not exactly caught up on what the rest of the league has looked like. Don't worry. I'm here. I'm here to help you get caught up by the time conference play starts and football is over and you really have to care about college basketball. I am here. I'm here to give you the spark notes that what I know you all used in high school, well, depending what age you were. What I used in high school was spark notes, so if I didn't read the book, I could just go online and, you know, give me my temporary learning. So that's what I'm going to do for you guys today. I want to talk about the league as a whole. I have the teams that I believe are the best in the league that I want to talk about. And then I want to talk about the teams so far that have straight up impressed me. So if your team does not get discussed today, they will down the line, but today, they're not worth mentioning right now to me. But we will. So I want to talk about the league as a whole so far, because if we look at the rankings in college basketball, the Big 12 is, you know, well represented. You have Kansas, you have Baylor, you have Texas, you have TCU. They are in the AP top 25. The highest is Kansas at number 4, well deserved. But the weird part about the league so far this year is I don't know if we can call this league as good as we have been the last couple of years. Now you'd be saying, well, every team in the Big 12 is well over 500. The worst team in the league, Oklahoma State, 7-4. It's not like there's any clunkers in this league. Totally understand. I get what you are saying. In some other leagues, like the Big Ten and basically every other league, there is a team that is just not very good. So this league is very, you know, there's a lot of depth in this league, but I feel like we can say that every year in the Big 12. Even when Kansas State is bad and Oklahoma State's bad, I feel like they can still put up a fight against some of these. And I think that will happen when we get into conference play after the ball drops and conference play starts. Late December on the 31st. But for me, it feels like there's not a team in this league that is necessarily above everyone else right now. I believe the Kansas Jayhawks are above everyone else, but I don't know if I can like say that yet. There's not a clear top team in this league. And the best teams in this league, like Kansas, like Baylor, like Texas, are those teams I can fully say right now, you know what, going to win a national title. I'm going to talk about these teams later, but like for Baylor, I don't think they're a national championship team this year. Not at all. I think defensively, they have a lot of things to work on. Texas, yeah, they on paper right now and what they've shown, hell yes. Their head coach is also arrested and not coaching anymore and is currently suspended. Kansas, the team I think is the closest to win the national championship. I don't know. Right now, there's currently other better teams in college basketball than them. UConn looks amazing. Houston, future Big 12 team, is looking great. UCLA, Tennessee, Purdue, Kentucky. This is not like the clear Baylor 2 years ago. This is not, oh, okay, we got Ochai and we got Christian Brown. This is, no, like, I'm not saying college basketball is caught up to the Big 12, but it's looking like there's not a clear team in this conference that is like, yep, those are one of the best. But then we go to like the teams outside of the top four. We go to like Iowa State, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Oklahoma. Now, these are teams that I think are extremely competitive and teams I am buying, and we'll touch on most of these later in the show. But are these teams that can, you know, go past the first week of the NCAA tournament? Are these teams that can fight for a spot in the Elite Eight and Sweet 16? I don't know. Like, I think we have really feisty, good teams, but there's still a lot I have to learn about this league. And that's why I'm kind of confused on how to define the Big 12. Metrics say above everyone else. Agree. The depth is very good, but are we looking at a conference that is just really good but not have the elite level? Or are we just looking at a conference that is just very average above around and the top teams are a little above average? We'll find out. I want to believe that we are a conference full of amazing depth, but we'll get to that down the road. I want to talk about the teams that I've really enjoyed watching and the teams that deserve to be talked about the most right now. And I want to talk about the best team in the Big 12 right now. They're currently 10-1, ranked 4 in the latest AP poll. And that's the Kansas Jayhawks because they just came off a beatdown. Let me tell you, a beatdown win against Indiana in the fog. And we're starting to see this team click at the right time. And there's one player that I'm loving to see click at this moment. It's Grady Dick. I can give every Dick joke out in the book, but I'm not going to go there. It's beneath me now. Just wait till a month until I start dropping them. But Grady Dick in this game proved what he has to be when it comes to Big 12 conference play. Jalen Wilson, this non-conference slate, has taken the scoring on his shoulders. And for good reason. It's a good thing that he is doing that because he is showing he can be that alpha when he needs to. He can be that guy. If you need a bucket, give it to Jalen Wilson. But they need other players to step up. And we are seeing that right now. Grady Dick in his performance against Indiana, 20 points, 8 from 12 from the field, 4 from 5 from the three-point line. He is proving to be everything as advertised, as a shooter, as a scorer, hell, even defensively. He is looking phenomenal right now. The Dick is looking good. Damn, I told myself I wouldn't do it, but then I did it. But this team is like really rounding form, and a player that hasn't necessarily... He actually did kind of disappoint me a bit. It was Kevin McCullough Jr. We obviously know everything about him. But he wasn't necessarily shooting the ball that effectively when he came to Kansas in the first games that he had. In this game, I thought he actually played such a good role. This team kind of just moves the ball really well. Defensively right now, they are currently 8th when it comes to KenPom for adjusted defense and 13th on offense. Kevin McCullough Jr., I think, has a real positive reason why. He is such a good on-ball defender. He knows where to go offensively. He knows where to make passes. This team is fluid right now, and Indiana is not like this scrub team. They're one of the better teams in the Big Ten, and for them to absolutely put this beatdown on them, I think it's really, really impressive. Kevin McCullough Jr. is coming to form. DeJuan Harris has been excellent so far as their point guard. 10 assists, 10 points, getting that double-double for them. This team is just really, really polished right now. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of the Kansas Jayhawks. When they get into conference play, I think they're going to continue that as well. And we look at their next couple of games. They have Harvard, and then it's on to Big 12 play. I think they're going to continue exactly where they're going. Next team I want to talk about is the Texas Longhorns, and oh my God. Oh, man. Texas. You are... I just feel bad for Texas fans. You are leaving us, so I should hate you because, you know, you're no longer part of our conference, and you chose to leave us, so I should hate you, but I feel really bad for any Texas fan out there. This team right now is really good. Marcus Carr is playing the best basketball of his life. Timmy Allen is ad advertised. Tyrese Hunter has been a stud scoring-wise for them. Serge Ibaka-Rice has just come out of nowhere as this amazing six-man for this team. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Texas. And then the whole Chris Beard thing happens, and you're like, God. Number one, I don't really want to talk about like him as a whole and the scumbaggery, what he did, if guilty, looking like he is guilty. This wouldn't be dragged out for this long. That team was set. That program under Chris Beard the future was looking so good. The Moody Center looks awesome. And for that thing to happen last week was terrible for this team. Moving forward, whatever you want to say. But I want to give a lot of credit to the Texas Longhorns. You play Rice, a game you're supposed to win, but also the same day that Chris Beard gets arrested. So no one is really talking about this game. They're talking about what the hell is going on with Chris Beard. And, oh yeah, about an hour before the game, they tell Rodney Terry, their interim head coach, hey, you're going to be the interim head coach. So everything surrounding this game was just so strange. And even when I was watching the broadcast, the announcers were like, okay, we just want to let you know that the reason Chris Beard isn't here is because of this one thing. It seemed to be the story of the game. And for a player, how can you focus when you don't know what is going on with your program, your head coach? You don't know this person who offered you a scholarship, what's going to happen to him. And, oh, yeah, you have to play a basketball game basically 5 hours after learning more than that, but about 5 to 12 hours after learning he did one of the worst things you can do to a woman ever, allegedly. Whatever. That's really difficult. And for Rodney Terry and that coaching staff to get this team to not only beat Rice in overtime, but then the next game, play Stanford neutral and win, I give a lot of credit to Texas right now. Like, they are dealt a ugly, ugly, ugly hand by what Chris Beard did, and they are proving that they can still win because, look, this team has talent. This team has a lot of talent when it comes to guard play in the league. It's them and Baylor, really, right now. When it comes to, like, elite guard play, I think those two have it. Timmy Allen is looking like a beast. Brock Cunningham is looking like this ultimate disruptor. People think that they want to punch Brock Cunningham. He has a very punchable face, so I understand. But, like, that's a player I want. I hope every fan base understands they want that type of player on their team. You can hate Brock Cunningham, but then you look at him and you're like, damn, I wish we had someone like you. Completely disrupt everything, be physical, makes the right plays, smart, and you just want to punch him. Like, I'm a bad boy. Like, if you don't know, I'm a Detroit Pistons fan, born and raised in the state of Michigan. I love the bad boys. I love players like that. My point. I really like the direction Texas is at. Chris Beard is going to destroy that a little bit. I think this team legitimately had national championship, you know, aspirations for this team. Because of Chris Beard, I don't know. Now, the statistics go well for them. Defensively, they're sixth, according to KenPom's adjusted defense, one of the best in the country, and then 19th in adjusted scoring. So this team, although I thought very scoring-wise, it looks like their defense is carrying them. And that is known to be a Chris Beard group. But now Chris Beard, once again, isn't their head coach. The thing that I am worried about moving forward, is this sustainable? Can this team survive without their head coach? I am just speculating here, so don't go giving me a lawsuit because, one, I don't have a lawyer, and that'd just be annoying of me to find one and spend money over these dumb things I say over a podcast. But I do not see Chris Beard coming back this year. I don't see Texas making the move to do that. So my opinion is that Rodney Terry will be your coach for the rest of the year. What is that going to look like when it comes late into the season and you're playing Baylor or you're in the SEC Challenge and you're playing Tennessee? What is it going to look like in conference play when things get tough? Are you going to believe the guy that's currently your head coach? What is going to happen to this team? Does the talent still carry over? Are you still the same team with Chris Beard as your head coach or not as your head coach? I'm really confused about Texas, but right now they've had a great start to their season. I was skeptical about them coming into the year. I'm no longer skeptical. I think they can do the thing. I'm proud of the Texas Longhorns, even though they've been dealt the worst hand in the Big 12. Now, one team I'm a little confused about right now is the Baylor Bears. Currently, right now, number 7 in the country. They're 8-2. They just beat Washington State, a 4-6 Washington State team, 65-59. But I'm watching them play, and I'm just like, I don't know if I necessarily love watching this team right now. And the stats kind of prove it. Now, Kornik Empom, sixth in adjusted scoring. Very good. That makes sense. You have Adam Flagler. You have LJ Cryer. You have Keontae George. I get it. You have amazing guard play, a one-and-done type of player. But then I look at their defense, and that has been my biggest qualm about this team. 47th in adjusted defense. And it makes complete sense. Complete sense why it's like this, and I'll tell you why. You can't just lose Mark Vidal, Davion Mitchell, Jared Butler. He was a better scorer than defender, but knew his role. Maceo Teague. You lose JTT to this knee injury. You lose Jeremy Sochan, who is known as this amazing defensive player, now playing for the San Antonio Spurs. You lose Kendall Brown. You have no real length on this team. You added Jalen Bridges. Great. He's not really known for being this defensive stalwart. The real best defensive player you have is Flo Thamba. And, like, are you really going to, you know, on this roster right now, are you really going to, in crunch time situation, be like, you know, we got Flo Thamba back there? Defensively, this team is really, really scary to me. And when it comes to late into conference play, I think that's going to get exposed. I think there's a lot of good teams in this conference with some good offensive players. I do not think their guard play has enough to be among the best when it comes to defending the perimeter in this league. Now, like, to Baylor, what you can do is just outshoot everyone, outscore them. You know, if you get steals, make sure you make these transition threes and buckets, because this team has what no other team has in this league right now, and that's just like a kill switch. If Baylor gets hot and they shoot, It's over. This team is, they got so many offensive weapons, like, it could be over quickly. Once again, they are the Golden State Warriors of the Big 12. If you give them an inch, you give them an opportunity to have a little bit of a run, Baylor's going to kill you. But defensively, like, you should be a little bit concerned as a Baylor fan. You should be just a little bit concerned. How exactly is this going to fit? Now, I hope JTT can come back for the season, but I don't see that happening. But you have Caleb Lohner. I haven't seen much for him. I know he has this big, wide body, and he's like a tall guy. I don't see him being this defensive guy. The guards coming off your bench, I don't see it either. So, man, Baylor, you got to step it up defensively, and I don't know where that's coming from. Very short guards. Keontae George is 6'4", having to play that small forward position. There's just not a lot of length on this team that was once there. And it makes sense. You lose so many good defensive players. So keep your eye out for the Baylor Bears when conference play comes out, because defensively, not very good right now. Now, there's three teams that have impressed me. Impressed me a lot. And I want to mention them. And if your team gets left off, I'm sorry. But I just didn't want to talk about them. The first team that has impressed me, based on the expectation that I had for them, are the Oklahoma Sooners. Yes, they just beat Central Arkansas 87-66. But right now, they're 8-3. And they have a player on this team, well, a couple players on this team that have kind of shocked me, but the one initially is Grant Sherfield. Currently, 17.6 points a game, 4.2 assists, 2.8 rebounds. You need star talent to really, or star players, or a true scorer to have success in this league. If you want to beat Kansas, you want to beat Baylor, beat Texas this year, you need to have some level of elite score making. And right now, he is doing that in the Big 12 Conference. Behind Jalen Wilson, he has been such a go-to player, and a player for Oklahoma that they desperately needed. Last year, they did not have that. They did rely on Tanner Groves way too much. The year before, you have Austin Reeves, you have Brady Manick, you have other players that can do things. They have found that player that can score and get a bucket. And it also helps, too, when you have some more contributions from a player like Jacob Groves, who against Central Arkansas was lighting it up. He had 26 points, 10 from 13 from the field, 4 from 6 from 3. That's huge. And then you have Tanner Groves as well. And a player that I have just really enjoyed watching in a league that is not very big, Sam Godwin off the bench as their big has just been really fun to watch. He runs the middle of the lane. He can get some dunks. He can rebound. He's been really fun to watch. I've just really enjoyed what I'm seeing right now out of the Oklahoma Sooners. If you go to KenPom, they're not exactly lighting it up or, you know, shocking everyone. Oklahoma right now is 31st when it comes to adjusted offense, 58th in defense. But this is a team right now that is just, I think, a team that is going to exceed expectations. I believe they will be a tournament team. And they kind of got some more star power that I didn't necessarily think that they would have. So, good for the Oklahoma Sooners. Next team. Can't believe I waited this long to talk about these guys. Kansas State. Where the hell did you come from? I watched how many years of Bruce Weber? I've never seen this in non-conference play. What was it, last year or 2 years ago in the COVID year when they lost to like a D2 team? Hello, Kansas State, 10-1. And you may look at their standings or their schedule and be like, oh, they didn't play anyone. They just beat Nebraska. They just beat Fred Hoiberg. Now I know it's a 6-6 Nebraska, but you beat them by double digits. And the Wildcat Classic, what an amazing name. The player that everyone needs to be talking about as a true stud, one of the best stories in all of college basketball, is Keontae Johnson. 17.8 points per game, 6.8 rebounds. He's been a beast. And against Nebraska, 23 points, 9 from 13 from the field, 2 from 3 from the three-point land, 11 rebounds. This team's good. This team is good. They're athletic. They have Noel with just dropping dimes everywhere. Currently second in the NCAA with 8.1 assists per game. This team's going to be dangerous. I don't know if it's won a Big 12 conference dangerous. But right now, if you're a Kansas State fan, you should be optimistic about your opportunity to go into March and to get a win or multiple. Jerome Tang, I mean, well done. And the fans are bought in, too. That's what I really enjoy about this. So Kansas State on my list of teams that have impressed me. Last team that I want to talk about that impressed me right now, the West Virginia Mountaineers. I did not see this coming at all. This is a team that I thought was going to be dead this season. They are not. They are currently 9-2 on the year and have shown they can do a lot of things. They can shoot. They're playing more of the Bob Huggins style of play. Eric Stevenson has been this player that's come out of nowhere for them, the transfer. He has been so good. And this is his fourth stop going from Wichita State to Washington to South Carolina. Now at West Virginia, and he has taken the scoring load for them, and he's just a shooting player that they kind of need more than Sean McNeil. Like, Sean McNeil was very good. Tash Sherman was good. Eric Stevenson seems to be doing that, but also fit more of the Bob Huggins mold. 8 from 13, 5 for 8 from the 3-point with 22 points against Buffalo. He good. Trey Mitchell, though, is the player that I've enjoyed watching the most from West Virginia. Obviously, you may know him well, coming from Texas last year, but he's been this big that in a league without many bigs, he's showed up for them. I've really enjoyed watching Trey Mitchell against Buffalo. 6 for 12 from the field, 0 from 3 from the 3-point land, but 17 points, 6 rebounds. He's been a beast. And when it comes to when we see the rest of the Big 12 play, I see him as a player that can make an all Big 12 team. He's been that good so far this year, and I continue to see it happening. Another player that I've enjoyed watching, Jimmy Bell from West Virginia as well, the 6'10 senior from Saginaw, Michigan. Always appreciate people from Michigan. He comes from St. Louis, and he has just been good. And he played against Buffalo. He had quite the game at 6'10. He had 10 rebounds, 18 points. This is a team that can beat you with the bigs and can also shoot as well. This is a team that can be dangerous in Big 12 play, a team I did not see coming. That's why Bob Huggins, hey, I was ready to write you off. I was ready to say goodbye. No, you're fitting in quite well at West Virginia. This team is looking good. Big 12 play is coming. I can't believe it's happening. But the 31st Big 12 conference play, will be starting. God, time flies, man. One thing you know, you're covering football season. Next thing you know, your ball's deep into Big 12 conference play, and it's going to be starting. And the thing I'm really looking forward to, what team is really a contender or a pretender? I look at Iowa State. Okay, you're currently 9-2. Is this really going to carry over? Because I don't think this is a team that can, you know, outscore a lot of people. And KenPom agrees with me. In adjusted offense, Iowa State is 122nd in the country. That's really bad. I don't think you want 121 teams ahead of you in anything in life, really. But their defense is just so damn good. 14th when it comes to adjusted defense. I mean, that's a team I'm really looking at. Just like, okay, can you carry this over when it comes to conference play? I don't know if I do. They're a team that I think is a pretender. I go to TCU. Same thing offensively. 92nd in adjusted offense, but 25th in adjusted defense. That's a team that is confusing the hell out of me. I know they play good defense. Can that last in Big 12 conference play? Once again, I think they're a pretender with that. I do not see that. I do not see it happening. Texas Tech. This is a team that I think right now is the definition of average, and a lot of Texas Tech fans just want to bury this team right now because they're not looking like they were last year. They're going to figure it out. And the numbers are basically proving they are just the definition of average right now. Texas Tech, 57th when it comes to adjusted offense and 30th defense. Now, we'll see if Fardaz Ahmek, who apparently a lot of people said he was in the transfer portal, is going to say, if he comes back, that is such a difference maker for this team. Such a difference maker. What he can do inside, he can pull back and do the three. He can rebound. This league does not have bigs. If they have that, Texas Tech, to me, is such a better team, and they can be just exactly what we thought they could be. Oklahoma State, who is just such a confusing team to me because they're just not good with the three-point at all. But then you have Musa Cisse, who is just the best guarding big in all of college basketball right now. They're currently 20th in adjusted defense, according to KenPom. And that's really because you have a player who is that tall, 7'1", Musa Cisse, blocking everyone in sight. They need to shoot the ball better. I think they need to make a lineup adjustment. There's no way you can start Caleb Boone and him at the same time. It's just not going to work as well. So that's what I'm seeing so far. I'm really looking forward to conference play coming up. Let's get through the holidays. Let's get through Christmas. Let's get really drunk on New Year's Eve. Let's watch some Big 12 basketball. And let's ring in the new year in the best way possible. Okay? And let's get a national title team in the Big 12. Let's make it a three-peat. Okay? All right. I'm your host, Robbie Triano. Thank you for listening. If you made it this far, subscribe, rate 5 stars, tell a friend. And if I'm really bugging you because I'm not talking about your team enough, complain to me at Twitter, MW_madness12. I appreciate all feedback. I appreciate any feedback. And until then, peace. See you later, guys.
Podcast Network.